Thanks, Padre. Before I start, there are a couple of apologies for people who couldn't come. I thought everybody who wanted to be here is here, but apparently they're not. Jean Fitzgerald, ex-MEP, ex-Cabinet Minister, current Treasurer of Fianna Fáil, I believe, who has followed all our work for many years and really regrets that he cannot be here. From Martin O'Dwyer from the Folk Village in Cashel, County Tipperary, who's doing a marvellous work there in collecting information on the same topic we're talking about, the War of Independence. This event started off as a simple book launch, but it's become something else. When we decided on the launch of Brian's book, we thought it would be a pity to miss an opportunity of not listening to what he had to say on recent research he's doing on the War of Independence. That's his speciality. And I think anybody who reads current material on the War of Independence will appreciate that we need, let's say, an alternative view to the one that's going about. So Brian readily agreed to give us a talk, and he decided to specialise in Cork during the War of Independence. This is probably for obvious reasons. This year, Cork is a European city of culture. It seemed appropriate that we celebrate its political culture, which is as valid a part of a place's culture as any other form of culture, and it seemed an appropriate time to do it. Also appropriate because that very culture has been the subject of very deliberate attacks and disparagement in recent years. It's been picked out for some reason to be given the full treatment by the current revisionist historians, so it seemed portrayed as basically a sectarian dogfight that we should have a bad conscience about. Well, we don't have a bad conscience about it, and neither does Brian, and he's already shown in some of his publications why that should be so, and he will show us more of that tonight. You will see that rather than being a book launch, it's more like a book fair because of the number of publications we've decided to put on show. They all have one theme, or one dominant theme is the War of Independence and the Cork aspect of it. They're all available at a special price, as you probably know, so in case you haven't noticed that, they will be there afterwards as well. I just want to say a few words about the publishers. The Attal Books is a non-commercial publishing organisation that's been around for 20-odd years. It's produced a lot of books on Irish and international affairs. And being a non-commercial body, it has the freedom to produce what it feels like producing. So that's why you'll find quite a variety. Its catalogues are here as well, so if you can't find what you're looking for, obviously you can get it by post or ordering in any other way. The Urban Historical Society is another non-commercial group that's been going for about 20 years, producing stuff mainly on Cork, because it's based in North Cork, and its catalogue is here as well, and with samples of its material. We also have a publisher from Wales, Warren and Paul, who, by coincidence, have just republished and reprinted an updated version of Michael O'Riordan's account of the Irish participation in the International Brigade in Spain. Michael O'Riordan obviously represents another distinctive part of Cork's political culture, and we're very glad to facilitate the sale of his book, and we're very glad that he's able to come here tonight and be with us. Brian's book, of course, is the focus of the evening, and he will introduce it and launch it himself. But having read it, I can resist saying a few words about it, and I think it's, even though it's a very cliche term to use, it is a seminal work, and because it deals with the first generation of the modern revisionists. We're into the second generation of revisionists at the moment. This book was written about 20 years ago when the fathers of the present group were appearing, and Brian immediately detected weaknesses in their arguments, and basically he played the role of the boy in the story, that the emperor had no clothes, or if he had some clothes there were some gaping holes in vital areas, and he pointed that out, and the little princes who followed the emperors have had the same, but the holes have got bigger. And so Brian's work has been very, very useful in pinpointing the source of a whole pile of the revisionist arguments that have been elaborated since. So, you know, what they were doing was seminal work, and what Brian was doing was seminal work on the opposite side. So I think for that reason, it's very important work. Now, you may not know very much about Brian Murphy. I find there are people who either know him very well or people who hardly know him at all. And he didn't do himself any favours in the academic world by writing this thesis. He basically became a bit of a persona non grata, I think, because of what he did. He also is not well known. He'd be better known if the editor of the Irish Times was a little more liberal, if it was a Journal of Record, as it claims to be, because Brian has tried to counter the nonsense of Kevin Myers for years. He's valiantly replied, almost daily sometimes, I think, to him. But our Journal of Record will not record Brian, but they'll record Kevin Myers. So that's how much of a Journal of Record that is. In fact, I think if we put all Brian's unpublished letters together, they'll form another book. Anyway, Brian, as he says in his introduction, Brian humbles himself before the facts of history. I mean, I think his book takes a bit of getting used to because of that. It's not defending an ideological position straight away. It's not glib and no snide remarks in it. He puts the facts before you. You have to follow them. They either make sense to you or they don't. It unfolds before you. Now, that's not what you get these days. You don't get straight narrative history anymore. It's all themes and arguments being made before they're proved. And he presents his story, warts and all. I mean, I've came across stuff about Patrick Pearse and Patrick Dineen and what they had to say about each other, which I wasn't aware of. And Dineen certainly had as great a use of English as he had of Irish when it came to describing people and what he felt about them. And that's a fascinating part of the book. Does the same with the bulletin itself. He shows it, warts and all, as he does the people involved. So it's a sort of hagiography of people or institutions or anything like that. So basically, it was a pleasure for us to publish the book, and it's hopefully it'll get a better reception notice out in the with the general public than it did in academia. And it's a great pity it had to wait for 20 years to be with the public, but it's there now. And it's also obviously a privilege to have him here tonight to listen to him on the particular subject he's chosen. Thank you.